The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Amen. Amen. Gracious God, we give you thanks, Lord, for your mercy and grace, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this hymn which we have been singing, Lord, that five bleeding wounds you bear received on Calvary, Lord. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, that those wounds you received were for me and for everyone here and for everyone in this world, Lord, that you went to Calvary and died an atoning death for us, Lord. Lord, we thank you tonight for Calvary. We thank you tonight for your precious shed blood, Lord. We thank you, Lord, tonight that your anointing will break the yokes in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that there's power in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray tonight that you'll take over this service. Lord, I pray that you'll encourage, Lord, that you will strengthen and that you will help someone tonight in Jesus' precious name. Lord, Take over now, Lord. Help me, Lord, to step aside, Lord, and take control in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Tonight, if I can, I don't know what sort of a message this could be. It may be all over the place, but tonight I want to try and talk a wee bit about the power of prayer. And I want to turn here to Jeremiah chapter 33, and I just want to read verses 3. It's a very familiar portion of scripture, I know, but I suppose this is where I got the inspiration. This scripture come to me one day, and I was just thinking about it, and then sort of from that, I thought, you know, I would try by God's grace to speak upon calling upon the Lord, or the power of prayer. The power of prayer. You see, the enemy would want you to be defeated to the point where you can't pray. You know, I don't know who it was one time said, when the weakest of Christians pray, the devil takes fear. Amen. When you pray, he knows he's on the back foot, because it's a realization now, this fella might get a bit of encouragement here. He might actually gather himself up here. If we let him pray and maybe get a bit of strength up in him, and the devil's going to have a hard time. So Jeremiah chapter 33 and verses 3, it says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You may have your seats tonight. Call unto me. Amen. You know, another portion of scripture says, call unto me in the time of trouble. Call unto me. You don't need to call the doctor. You don't need to call your pastor. You don't need to call your mate. I know it's all good to have earthly friends. But you know, Proverbs says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. But there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. When all friends seem to cease and all friends seem to fail, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we know him this morning or this evening. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. For he says, I will be with you always, even in you until the end of the world. When you accept Jesus Christ, you've got a friend for life.
Amen.
A friend for life, a friend that never departs you, a friend that never leaves you, a friend that you just call upon 24/7. There's never an issue with a telephone line. It's open all the time.
Amen.
It's open 24/7. You know, we'll turn here in our Bibles now over here to Luke chapter 23. We see here Jesus is on the cross. This is another thing that was just coming to my mind. I was just thinking, you know, what about that faith on the cross? What about that faith on the cross? He was on the cross. He was doomed. He'd lived a bad life, probably. He hadn't lived a great life. He had never done anything right. Well, he was a faith. He was condemned to death by a very cruel death on a cross. Luke chapter 23, and we'll try and read verses 39. We'll maybe read right down to verses 46. Verses 39, Luke chapter 23, and it says, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. You see, there was two boys here, one on either side of Jesus, and one boy, it didn't make no difference. You know, it's like my dad often said, you know, people maybe go to a service, or maybe even in a funeral service, and for a while there's conviction on them. But you know, it's like the man says, sometimes it's like water off a duck's back. They've hardened their hearts so long that they won't let the penetration power of God enter into it. The devil has blinded them so much. And there's this faith here, this one here, he's on the cross. And you know, his heart has hardened that much, he can't even recognize that he's about to die and be swept into a lost eternity. But you know, he's on the cross here, and it says, and he railed upon him, one of the malefactors railed upon him and said, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condition? And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. But even a faith on a cross realized that this was some special man, some special person. A faith on a cross realized that, you know, even Pilate, when he was sentencing him, he had to say, I find no fault in this man. But you know, when they brought him to that Sanhedrin court, they tried to find fault in him. They tried to make up false accusations about him. They tried to call him all sorts of things. But you know, they couldn't actually find any fault in him, because he was spotless, perfect. You know, it's coming up now to the time of year which we call Easter, which really is a pagan festival because it's really Passover. You know, we know Easter, there's only one scripture in the Bible, I think it's in Acts of the Apostles, where it talks about Easter. But there's no other place in the Bible where the disciples or anybody ever celebrated a thing called Easter. It's after a pagan god, Ashtar. You know, it was a pagan form of worship. But you know, there was a thing called Passover. And that's really the same thing. It's a similar thing. But you know, at this time of the year, when coming up before Jesus went on to the cross, they were inspecting those Passover lambs. Because as he came into Jerusalem, that was the time coming up to the Passover time. And you know, they laid palm leaves down and they were celebrating and they were praising God. And he come riding in on a wee donkey and he come into the city and everybody was in a great, everything was going well, you know, but it had to be, the word of God had to be fulfilled exactly, didn't it? Because them wee lambs, they had to be took in and they had to be totally examined by the priest before they were fit to go for the sacrifice. So Jesus, you know, did it say then that they come in the garden to arrest him and they took him to the court and they examined him. They examined him and they couldn't find any fault in him. They trumped up charges. Then he was examined also by Pilate, the great law of the land of the time, the Roman Empire ruling the land. He was examined by that court and he found no fault in him. And his wife had a dream and said, his wife come out and tell him, don't have anything to do with this man. Don't do anything to this man. But you know, he come out. And you know, he washed his hands off of me. He washed his hands in front of everybody and he washed his hands and he said, what will you have me do? And they said, crucify him and let his blood be upon us. You know, you see, he had to fulfill every scripture. He was the perfect, spotless, sacrificial lamb. And he fulfilled the whole scripture. You see, here he is hanging on the cross here and one man recognizes that this is the Savior. But one man can't see it. You know, when we read on down here in verses 40, and he says, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God? That's a problem today, isn't it? People have no fear of God. Because like we heard this morning, you know, you can identify as anything you like. You can be anything you want to be. Just do whatever you want to be and just live whatever way you like. You know, and the enemy can get you into that condition. You see, this other man, he had lived that life. He done whatever he wanted to do. If he wanted to steal somebody's horse or whatever it was back then, or whatever he maybe done, he maybe killed somebody, dear knows what he done. But whatever he took the notion of doing, he done it. He lived whatever way he liked. And now he's on a cross. The other man lived probably whatever way he liked too, but there was one thing happened to him. There was a wake-up. Something happened, the scales fell off his eyes as he hung on that cross. He realized, he says, do you not fear God? Do you not realize that we're in this position because we deserve to be here, but this man is a just man. On verses 41, and it says, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Amen. God opened up a way. When Jesus hung on that cross, and when this took place, he rent that veil of that temple clean in two to signify that there was no longer a whole operation or a works program. There was no longer this whole rigmarole to get to God, but you could just come to him. And this man was even an example on that day. He hanging on a cross, doomed to die, doomed to be swept into a lost eternity. But he had a realization that this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords hanging on that middle cross there. And he realized to himself and he said, Lord, remember me. Like our first scripture says, call on to me. Amen. Call upon me. You see, all he had to do was call and ask. You see, people think, oh, It can't be that easy. You see, sometimes if you get so educated, some people think they could figure it all out. You know, if I go to the library, I'll get a book and I could figure God all out. I could figure all the genealogies out. I could figure out everything in the Bible. I could suss out all the mysteries. You could figure out everything and still be lost. But you know, the only thing you had to figure out, call upon the name of the Lord. When you figure that one out, everything else will fall into place. You know, it's like a man run the marathon. He'll not get up of the sofa after lying with his feet tipped up for months upon end or years upon end, eating whatever he wanted to eat and just go out and run a marathon and win it. But if he really is keen on doing it, he'll get up and he'll train. And then he'll run the marathon. He'll be fit to do it. But you know, the devil wants to leave you unfit. How do you become fit in God's word? Pray. There's power in prayer. That's what I'm trying to talk about tonight. There's power in prayer. And when you pray, that's you training. You know, when you exercise your faith muscle also, it'll get bigger and stronger and more resilient. It'll not be easy knocked down. It'll want to spring back up and come back into the fight. You know, this man, he says, Lord, remember me. That's all he had to say. You know, he didn't have to do anything big, did he? You know, some people say, I'm not good enough to come to God. I can't come to God. Sure, I'm not living. What about this man? Condemned to death on a cross. He wasn't good enough, was he? You know, in the eyes of Joe Bloggs or the public, he didn't look too good. He was on a cross naked and condemned to die. Bleeding and dying on a cross. But he had a wake up. He realized that Christ was there. And all he had to do was ask him, to remember me, remember me. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today, it was done and accomplished. Psalms 65 and verses 2, it says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. O thou that hearest prayer. The psalmist David realized that when you pray, it's not like praying to Buddha or some of these other gods, false, pagan, idol gods, gods that cannot see, gods that cannot hear, gods that cannot do nothing. But when you pray unto Jesus, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Unto thee shall all flesh come. Psalmist David knew that when you prayed to God, you weren't praying to an idle, dead God. You know, I've read this wee thing before, but I'm going to read it again. I found this in a wee notebook that my dad had. It's from that Sky Revival. You know, and this is a good example of what's happening today, isn't it? It says here, in times of prosperity, the church, the Lord's servants ploughed with four horses, faith, love, discernment, and zeal. But as the church declined, faith became lame. Love got sick. Discernment lost the sight of one eye. Zeal died. So that many do the work with two horses of carnal reasoning and human learning. Yes. Carnal reasoning and human learning has no power or authority in it. But you know, when you're not working with carnal reasoning, you see, when the church started out, it was working with these simple, founded on solid rock of faith. Love, discernment, and zeal. Not carnal reasoning. Not your own make-up job. Not, well, we know the Bible says that, but you know, like, there was a wee thing used to be on the radio. It was called Let the Bible Speak. But my dad used to say, he said it should have been called Let the Bible Speak and we'll change it. You see, where the Bible said, baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll change it to baptize in three titles. Where the Bible says, you know, a woman shouldn't preach, we'll change it and let them do whatever they want to do. Where the Bible says anything contrary to what we think or what our denomination says, we'll change it to suit. You know, I don't know where it was. I think it was maybe Gary one time was talking to Lamont about the baptism and he had showed him the scriptures real plain. About the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And where he said, Peter baptized that way. And your man says, well, Peter was wrong. He was wrong. You see, they're so determined that the carnal reasoning on your own thinking has took over. There's a blindness that's fell upon people's eyes. You know, the night I was actually thinking of another message called The Signs of Our Times. The signs of our times is people can do whatever they want to do, but that's the signs of the times that we live in. You know, and I've seen an article there, where it'll happen or not, or I haven't read too much more about it, but I've seen an article that there's a sect in Israel is now trying to bring a law about that you can't even talk any more about Jesus now, today. They're trying to bring a law in that you will be put 1 year in jail if you are caught trying to convert anybody to Christianity in Israel. That's what they're trying to do now. So we see the same spirit that Gary was talking about on Wednesday, that same spirit in Genesis is the same spirit that runs through the whole Bible. It'll want to stop anything that'll give life. It's against life. The whole message of the devil is death. He wants to damn you. He wants to domineer you, and he wants you to be lost. He wants you to be swept into the lost eternity. You see, if he could get you away from the things of God. But we know, you see, all these things has to happen because you know it says that in the last days that there will be a great falling away. And it says also that men would be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And all these things, and we see, these are the things that are happening today. So we need to be about on our knees in prayer. Praying for our loved ones. Praying for ones that we want to see saved. You know, it's like my dad always said, it's the only hope for any right-thinking person is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only hope in this day and age. So, you know, imagine that, but it says they haven't actually put that law through court yet. But in the past, the president, Benjamin Netanyahu, has actually been all for Christianity. And he has protected the rights of Christians and people to worship God. Because, you know, the evangelistic circles and different ones in America are one of the greatest supporters of Israel. You know, so it'll probably come down to the notes at the end of it all. When it all comes through the court, you know, the pound signs will probably change the whole thing around. But, you know, that man, Benjamin Netanyahu, I believe, you know, a lot of times he's done a lot of good stuff. He's done a lot of good things. So maybe God, hopefully, will speak to him and that bill won't happen. You see, if that bill got passed there, what more could it do? You know, that's the way it is. Doesn't it say in the last day that perilous times shall come? Perilous times, time of trouble, on a time of disaster and destruction. So you see, that's the way things are going. But I've just seen that there come up on a newsreel one day and I read a wee bit about it. But I haven't read much more about it. You can look into it for yourself. I thought it was very interesting that these, it's a zealous sect, they've got a lot of them in court too. And they've all put this bill together to ban anybody trying to even speak to anybody in the street or even by an email or a message. So you couldn't even sign literature. If you were caught signing literature with this bill, you could get locked up for 1 year in jail for talking about Christ. Does that not sound familiar? Does that not sound familiar when Paul and Silas were talking about Jesus and signs and wonders happened and they put them in jail? And at the midnight hour, them men were probably feeling down and out, weren't they? They were beaten. They felt like, what is the point in the whole thing? But you know what they done? They started to pray. And then they started to sing. When you start to pray and sing, the atmosphere changes. There's going to be a breakthrough. Something has to change. All the demons have to get back. When God's people gather themselves and pray, when they gather themselves and sing, you know, we talked about that there. The veil of the temple been rent in twain. When that high priest was going into that holiest of holy, what did he have to do? He had to wear wee bells and pomegranates and things on his garments. Why was that? So that they could hear noise. When you didn't hear noise, what did that mean? He was dead. That's why we want to hear a bit of noise. You want a bit of noise? Don't be afraid to make a bit of noise. Say amen. Say praise God. The devil hates it. Every time you say praise God, you know, it's like training the muscle. It gets a wee bit stronger. Gets a wee bit more confident. And the devil hates that. He wants you to be like a wee mouse. He wants you not to be afraid to make a squeak. Oh, don't disturb my neighbor. What if somebody sees me in that place? If somebody sees me doing that, that's why that high priest had them bells on his garments. Because when there was no noise, he was gone. But when there was noise, he was alive and he was moving. When you make noise, something has to happen, doesn't it?
Amen.
You know, also it says in Psalms 145, verses 18 and verses 19, it says, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him in truth." Verses 19, "He will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them." Amen. His ear is always open. You know, the psalmist David realized when he backslid and done what he shouldn't have done. But what did he do? He went out and he repented. He got down on his knees and he repented. He knew what it was like to be in the lowest of position. And he knew what it was like to be loved by the people and exalted and in a high position. And he knew what it was like to be in between. Did you ever feel on the top of the mountain and you felt in the bottom of the bottom, the lowest you could go, you felt rotten? And you felt somewhere in the middle sometimes. But you know, it doesn't depend on how you feel. It's what you believe. You know, when the boxer gets into the ring, he's maybe getting a real beating. You know, he probably doesn't feel great. But you know, if he's really determined, sometimes the adrenaline will tick over. We don't really feel the pain the way you would normally feel the pain. Because you've got a mindset that you're going to win. When you've got a mindset that you're going to overcome, the devil can do nothing with you. But if you get the mindset in your head, maybe the pastor's not for me, maybe brother so-and-so's not for me, or maybe this or maybe that, that's the enemy. Lay that aside. Be determined to run the race. Say, "I'm going to run the race. I don't care what it takes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to overcome no matter what happens." You have to be determined. You know, if we look also in Psalms 107. I'm going to try and be very quick tonight. I'm not going to take too long tonight. Just go through a few of these verses in the Bible and then we'll not be too long. Psalms 107. We'll read verses. You could read this whole psalm. You could read the whole thing. The whole thing's absolutely brilliant. You know, any bit of the Bible's good. Anything's encouraging, isn't it? But we'll read Psalms here. We'll try and read maybe verses 1. We'll read a good part of this here on down here. It says, right away, I love it. When you read most of the Psalms, what does he say? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Can you give thanks with your mouth shut? Can you shut your mouth and thank somebody for something? If you got somebody handed you something, would you go, mm-hmm? Would you not say, thank you for that? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. Couldn't you just imagine the psalmist thinking of this here and saying this? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Because he knew that he was in a position where his life was like this. He knew he was in an inch of his life. He knew he was in a position in the wilderness, you know, where that bear come in and that lion come in. But you know, he was determined in him to protect them sheep. He didn't even want to lose an old sheep. He was determined to protect them. And then he had that same zeal when it come to God too. You know, he had that same thing in him. He was determined to overcome. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. The next time the devil tries to talk on your ear, say that to him. His mercy endureth forever. But look what's happened. Look at the circumstances, he'd say. Look what has befell you. Look what has happened to you. God doesn't love you anymore. God doesn't this and God doesn't that. He's a liar. He's always been a liar. Let the redeemed of the Lord what? Say so.
Amen.
Isn't that what the pastor preached here? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. A mute. If you've got your mouth shut, you can't say nothing, can you? But when you open your mouth and say so, you open your mouth and say amen and praise God. There's a change. There's a transformation in the atmosphere. Amen. And it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Boy, he's took everybody. He's gathered us all, hasn't he? It doesn't matter the color of your skin or where you're from or what you've done. It doesn't matter what baggage you carry with you. I know Gary preached a message one time about that, about the baggage. People think, oh, I have too much baggage with me. Isn't that what they say? Oh, boy, he's maybe a skeleton or two hiding in the cupboard, that boy. Jesus is in the business of kicking the skeletons out of the cupboard. Get rid of the skeletons and forget about the baggage. He doesn't care what baggage. He'll take you anyway. He received the man on a cross. He received that malefactor who was condemned to death, unjustly condemned to death. Fear knows what he done. But Jesus didn't say, how long, boy? You're on that cross because you done this and you done that. He accepted him. He accepted him. Amen. But what did your boy do? He had to make a step his road, didn't he? When you make a step Jesus' road, he takes 10 steps your road. 100 steps your road. He goes straight to you. You just have to make one decision. And he's there and he's waiting. And verses 4, he says, they wandered in a wilderness, in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. Amen. You know, the enemy will make you think, oh, what are you going to do now? You're defeated. You know, didn't David also say, he says, I was young and now I'm old, and have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. Amen. Jesus will not leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Doesn't matter what the people say or what the government's going to do or what this one's going to do. God's in control. God will take care of you. God will undertake for you. It may not seem like that at the minute, but I want you to have faith. The power of prayer changes things. The power of prayer will change the situation. You know, when Daniel sat out to pray, nothing happened right away, did it? It wasn't just like overnight. It says that he prayed, wasn't it? He was praying for nearly, was it near 3 weeks? He prayed for a long time. But you know, with him, you found out why there was a problem, didn't you? Because when that great angel, Michael, come on the scene, he says that he was the prince of the power of Persia. He withstood him. He tried to stop him. There's a whole atmosphere around about you trying to stop you getting a breakthrough. There's a constant atmosphere. We can't see it. You know, God allowed us to see things. You know, when a prophet of God called out someone in a meeting and he says that person down there is shadowed to death. They had some disease or something. And my mom took the picture right away and there was like a big shadow, like a person, nearly like the Grim Reaper, as it were, like just right behind them. A shadow of death on them. But God let a prophet of God see that. He let him see other things for to encourage me and you. Not that we'll jump down now and bow your knee. You know, people you see again, they've went to the, back to this here. They went to the carnal reasoning. All the other horses are lame and put in the stable. They don't want them. You know, people you see just maybe want to worship the messenger, not the message. It says then here, verses 7, and he led them forth by the right way. He led them forth by the right way. When you put your trust in God, he'll take you the right road. He'll not lead you the wrong way. If you try to work on your own, you'll go the wrong road. You'll take yourself the wrong way. Like my dad used to say, good lad, run on with the head down. And you'll run into something. You know, like an old boy said one time, keep your eyes open today. He says, why is that? For he says, if you don't, you'll walk into something. It's the same in the spirit. If you're going about with your eyes closed, what will you see? Nothing. But if you open your eyes, you'll see something, won't you? If you pray unto God, he'll open your eyes. He'll make a change. He'll help you on your way. It says in verses 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wondrous works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound on affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the word of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought them down, their hearts with labor. They fell down, there was none to help. Then what? Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And he saved them out of their distress. When you cry unto the Lord, there'll be a change. Maybe it doesn't seem like it at the minute. Maybe it seems like, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were in the fire. Didn't seem like anything was going to happen. When that king condemned them men to death because they wouldn't tick the feeble religion of the day. They wouldn't tick the fig leaf religion, as it were. They wouldn't accept They wouldn't accept the decoy system. They said, we will not bend. We will not take it. You know, another man, Oral Roberts, preached the masses. He said, if you don't bow, you can't burn. Amen. When you don't bow, you can't burn. It's impossible. When you don't bend or bow to this, the devil, you can do nothing about it. Because you have a power. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. There's something greater in you than is in him. You see, these men, they didn't bow the knee. But you know, there was a decree went forth that said, if you don't bow the knee, you'll be put to death. That does sound a bit familiar, doesn't it? If you don't do this, you don't do that, you'll be constricted by, you'll not be allowed to do this, you'll not be allowed to do that. You know, it's the same old spirit all along, isn't it? If you don't conform to me, I will do this, I will do that. But the devil, you know, wasn't it? Proverbs says, a living dog's better than a dead lion. Because he can still bark. He can still do something.
Amen.
You may not feel like a lion. Right. But if you're just a living dog, as it were, if you've just got a bit of life in you at all, you can still bark. You can still make noise and scare the enemy. Amen. You can put him on the back foot. You see, but you know, it's what's the dead lion? There's no use, is he? He's no power in him. But the living dog still had a bit of life in him. He could still do something, couldn't he? You know, the enemy makes you want to think that you're down and defeated, but you know, it doesn't matter if there's anything in you, a glimmer of life. Like I said before, you know, they found them wee tiny black dots when they went into them, the Pharaoh's tombs in Egypt. They found these wee things, they didn't know what they were, they just looked like dirt. But you know, they brought them out, and when them wee bits of dirt seen light, it turned out they were wee bits of corn. But there was still a wee germ of life in there. But it's not thousands of years or hundreds of years, whatever it was, there's still a wee germ of life in there. They look dead and withered up on nothing. But that wee germ of life seen a bit of light. It maybe got a wee bit of moisture. And it had to come forth.
Amen.
It's like a well springing up, isn't it? When there's a wee bit of light hits it, something happens, isn't there? If you just get a wee bit of light, something changes in you. It says, and then they cried unto the Lord and he heard them. It says, we'll skip on down a bit. He says, verses 16, we'll read down to verses 20 maybe. It says, for he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Boy, isn't that wonderful? Aye, he's a chain breaker and a way maker, isn't he?
Amen.
He breaks the chains, he breaks the bars and he makes a way. It says, fools, because their transgressions and because of their iniquities are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distress. He sent his word and healed them. He delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wondrous works to the children of men. You know, I know he's talking here about the children of Israel. They went the opposite. They done near enough everything wrong what they shouldn't have done. They were going to stone Moses. They didn't want to hear tell what Moses had to say. They were going to make themselves an idol god. They were no sooner out of Egypt than the next thing, we better get a pig, we better get a golden calf built. We better get something to worship. We better get something to look at. This old place isn't good enough. That's not good enough. We need to get something to worship. We need something to look at. After all the signs and wonders that God has showed them. But God still had compassion and mercy upon them. Doesn't matter what you've done. God's line's still open. Call upon me. Call upon him. His line's still open tonight. Amen. I've wrote down here, you have power. You have power in you. Just believe and pray. There's power in you. Just believe and pray. You know, if you look in your Bibles there to Matthew chapter 10, verses 1, when Jesus called on them the 12, it says, and when Jesus called on to him his 12 disciples, what did he do? He didn't get them kitted out with a new dog collar and a new suit. And he didn't say to them, hey, now, you boys have been out fishermen. It wouldn't be very well educated. I heard you reading by and you weren't that great. I seen your spelling and it was something to be desired. He didn't say any of that. He didn't say what Have any of you boys been to school? No. What did he say here? He says, and when he called on to him the 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. He gave them the power. He gave them the power and authority. And when you accept Jesus Christ, when you accept him and you've been baptized in his name, you're a candidate to receive that power. Isn't that what they said? Isn't that what they said in the book of Acts? This is that. This is that what the prophet Joel talked about. That there would be the Spirit of God poured out upon all flesh. You just have to accept it. One more scripture tonight and then I'm going to come. I don't have no watch and no time, so I don't know. So I'll not go on any longer. I'll just come to one more scripture here. John chapter 14. And I will pray that the Lord will encourage you tonight. John chapter 14, verses 12 and down to verses 14. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name," there's the thing, you see. There's the key. There is the key. You can't come a roundabout way. You can't come through some great dignitary's name. You can't come through some man's rigmarole. It won't work. That's why the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. Jesus was saying, you don't need to come through the old blood way that way. There's a new blood sacrifice. There's a new lamb. And that blood will endure forever and ever and ever and all eternity. It doesn't perish. It doesn't get any less power. It's the same all the time. He says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And it says, verses 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you ask anything in my name. And I wrote down one more portion of scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, and it says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Tonight, I hope you're encouraged. And I want you to pray without ceasing. I want you to take courage tonight. You know, the devil has done his best with all of us. I'm sure you know it just seems like one thing after the other, doesn't it? Every week, there always seems to be something to hit you, a kick in the teeth. There's always something to put you back. Something will happen to discourage you. You know, and the devil will want to come in and say, look at that. There's what's happened to you. And there's your boy down the road. He does whatever he likes. He's got this and he's got that. And nothing ever goes wrong with him. But you're living for God and look what's happening to you. That's the word of the enemy. Be of good courage and be of good cheer. Let's stand our feet tonight and I'll pray before Master comes. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks, Lord, for these words that are in your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we can take courage in these things, Lord. Lord, we can take courage, Lord, when all hope seems to be lost. We know that we can say we can be of good cheer, for you have overcome the world. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, I pray that you'll touch each and every one gathered here tonight. Lord, I pray if anyone hears this message or anyone, Lord, even listening in or anything tonight, Lord, I pray that you'll help them to make a decision for you. Help them, Lord, to call upon your name. Help the enemy's voice to be silenced in their ear. Lord, I pray that you'll strengthen your people at this time and encourage them. Keep your hand upon, Lord, our pastor and our brother John at this time as they go, Lord, to proclaim your gospel afresh. Lord, I pray that souls will be saved and set free. People will be healed and delivered in Jesus Christ's name. For your glory and your honor, we ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? Praise God. Enjoy the word of God tonight. Praise God. Well, I'm not going to take any time up. My brother Gary's going to come. But God bless all of you, and I know for myself and Brother John, we really appreciate you praying as we go. And it's, I think we're going to be flying over 20 hours, 22 or 3 hours to get there. I tell you, if you're using your own arms, you'll be tired. But we're going on a plane. Praise God. But isn't it wonderful, the technology that we do have, that you can leave here and, you know, many, many years ago, I was in a wee meeting one night and had no money, had nothing, I wasn't long saved, and received a prophecy that I'd go to the far ends of the earth. And after this prophecy was given, I was sitting saying to myself, there's no way that can happen, because I have no money to go nowhere, and I'm going to do this and going to do that. And the prophecy started up again and said, I'm going to send you. Never mind how. Never mind how. And I know John can tell you the same. We're not paying for the flights to go. They're paid for. They're paid for and all. The Lord has made the way for us to go. And I know for myself, if that hadn't happened, I wouldn't have been going. But the Lord's made the way. Signs and wonders will follow. Now, I never said it. He said it. And if it's really the Holy Spirit, I believe it is. I'm under expectation. I know Brother John's under expectation, and we really want your prayers as we go, that God will have his way. Amen. The Lord bless you to come back, and Brother Mark will give out all who's preaching all over the different services. I think maybe Mark and Samuel next week, and then Brother Larry's going to be preaching, Brother Gary's going to be preaching. Pray for Brother Gary as well. He's going down to Ava Street. And, you know, it's amazing how everything works, isn't it? I just took a wild notion. One Sunday, we didn't have a service here. And I just took this real feeling that I had to go down and see Billy in Ava Street. And I went away down, and there it was that night. I went and seen him and everything. But it was for some reason. There's somebody God wants to reach down there. And I'm telling you, that's the truth. And God makes no mistakes. Praise God. I forgot to say as well this morning, in case some people didn't see it, Sister Jacqueline Quinn went to be with the Lord. And Brother George Quinn's wife, you know, Brother George used to come up this many times. And I know Sister Jenny and Rock and all, we used to go down there a lot and get tea and everything down there. And George used to come up here many times. Sister Jacqueline went to be with the Lord. You know, she told, I think it was Brother John, she told one of the times she's up here. We went down one time and her stomach was massive. I mean, really big. She was like, she was expecting a baby. It was a tumor, brother. And they ended up taking her to a hospital, and the angel of the Lord came to her in the hospital. And she said, are you here to heal me? And he said, ah. And she came out of it. And that's a long time ago. The Lord gave her many years since that, but she's went now to be with the Lord. The Lord touched her, and that thing disappeared off her and everything. And that's the Lord, isn't it? God can do anything he wants. We can't explain some things, but God can do it. Praise God. The Lord bless you. Our brother Gary's going to come. God bless you.
Amen. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and I told thy love to me. You maybe didn't know it. No. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and I told thy love to me.
Ah.